Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I want to put my thought on the board, give you something to look at. Come unto me. Over in the 11th chapter of Matthew, the 28th verse, Jesus said, come unto me. That sounds very inviting. It seems peaceful to me. It seems pleasant. The idea that come. Do you want to be wanted? I think we all have inside us a desire to be wanted. And I can conclude that because I see the effects when someone feels like they're not wanted. You know, the feeling of not being wanted can really have some real effects on people. When a child feels like they're not wanted, you can really see some behavior problems that will arise in the idea that I'm not wanted. If you've understood anything about the situation where people's adopted, one of the situations that comes into that plays a part of who they are is usually the idea of why they wasn't wanted. Because that's an awful thing to feel like that you're not wanted. A lot of what we deal with in our world today, with the unrest people have and the racial unrest and those kind of things, has the idea of the feelings and the ideas that somehow I'm not worth nothing or I'm not wanted or somebody feels about me that I'm not wanted. Yeah. It's an awful thing to have a feeling of you see signs that says no trespassing. I think of that sometimes. And the idea, and I know we all have our boundaries, but sometimes I ask why that is so much. Who are you trying to say ain't wanted? Don't you come in here? Do not disturb. Don't bother me. Those kind of ideas that we can have about that can make a real problem. I'll be honest with you, if I critique myself in life and I try to look into who I am and the things that make me do what I do, one of my areas that I have a very strong sensitivity to in my life is not being where I'm not wanted. You don't have to give me many signals. And if I'm not careful, I'll even take signals that ain't signals. And I'll move out of the way. Or I'll get out of it, or I won't return, or I'll stay away from a situation where I feel like I'm not wanted. I don't want to be where I'm not wanted. I don't want to be with you if you don't want me to be with you. I don't want to ask you if can I ride to town with you if you don't want me to ride to town with you. I play it out and feel it out because there's something there. I don't want to feel that. Be honest with you, I want to be wanted. I want to be wanted. Yeah. Now, Brother Ed gave a little. We was talking yesterday about the project of the new chapel, and I've been here a number of times, and I still have a key on my ring to the door over here. You know what that key means to me? You know what the key means to me? I was given a key to this place, and I can come into the door anytime I'm here and want to. That makes me feel like I'm wanted. Yes. I got a key to the door. And Brother Ed said, when you build this, now all of you might not agree with this. Maybe Brother Ed could get an exception to this, but Brother Ed told me that I'd always be welcome at the new place. Maybe he'll give me a key. Jesus says here in this passage, come unto me. Come unto me. You're welcome.
Yes.
You're welcome. All? Who's welcome? Who's welcome? Come unto me. Will it matter how old I am? No. Will it matter that I'm a male or female? No. Will it matter of nationality or race or creed? Or will it matter how I've conducted my life? Will it matter if I've not always been good? Will it matter if I'm not, you know, we can put ourselves in the category sometimes. You ever hear somebody say, you invite them to service and they say, oh no, if I go in, the building will fall in. You ever hear people feel like that they've gotten themselves into a place that they are not welcome? That they wouldn't be the right person to go? You know, the Lord Jesus didn't do that. The invitation is a broad invitation. It's as wide as it is. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're at, what you've done. The invitation is still come. Come unto me. Come unto me. But I've done things and I don't feel like that I'm worthy. You're not worthy. But come. But come. Everybody, come unto me. It's so inviting. It's so the opposite of leave me. Go away. I don't want you. I don't want this kind. I'm a kind of a history buff, especially toward the era of World War II. And I think about the idea of a whole group of people, the Jews, the whole group of people, and how they must have felt, made out like they were nothing, useless, worthless, not wanted even on the planet, going to get rid of you, just because of the way I was born that I didn't choose. I have no way of changing anything about me. Gone. I was a very young child. I was very small for my age. I was very skinny. I had a lot of freckles and I had orange hair. And I was made fun of. And I think today it's why if I get an inkling that you don't want me around, I don't want to be around. Is because I was made to be inferior. I was made to feel, now I usually didn't let that bother me, but I was made to feel something that if you made me feel that way, I would simply leave you. I would get out of the way. I didn't want to be done that way. I did not choose to be orange-haired, and I wouldn't have chosen. I didn't choose to be small, and I wouldn't have. I didn't choose one freckle, and I wouldn't have. I had no choice at all about it. So you can imagine, and I'm trying to make an expression here, you can imagine how valuable come unto me is.
Yes.
You can imagine how I embrace Christ and why. Because I know He wants me. You know how valuable that is to me? That He says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If you labor and are heavy laden, you can come. If you've had failures in your life, no exceptions. Jesus wants you to come. It speaks also of the idea of a willingness to connect. Come to where I'm at. Come, actually, that's the only way you can say the word come is that you're in one position and you're drawing to it. That's what the word is. I can't really say I'm going to, right now I'm going to leave here and come to Guthrie. No, I've got to go to Guthrie. But I can come to where I'm at. You can come to where I'm at. The Lord is drawing us to Himself with this word. I'm going to invite, no matter where you're at, come. Come. Maybe life's been hard, but come. Maybe things have been difficult, but come. Maybe other people have made you feel inferior, but come. Maybe other people have made you feel like for some reason that you're not valuable. But oh, you're valuable.
Yes.
The whole idea of come is that you're valuable. You're valuable. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, that I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, I want to look at some scriptures. Over in Mark 10. I think is what I'm wanting. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then he charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal. I wonder why they told him to be quiet. I can say this almost assuredly. They weren't blind. The ones around him weren't blind beggars. The ones that told him to be quiet didn't have the same need that he had. I wonder if in their minds a blind beggar is as valuable as normal people. Do you think that a blind beggar that can't help himself, that sits around just begging and he's blind and he wouldn't be one of the ones that Brother Matt would want of those six to help on the building? What worth would he have? What can he do? Does he have a skill, Brother Ed? Is he valuable? Somebody's notable's coming by. Jesus of Nazareth. We've heard of him. Making a great deal about him in the land right now. He's a lot going around about what he can do and say, and he's an exalted place, and you're embarrassing us. Your screaming's getting to us. Be quiet. I'm going to probably figure that the ones that are around there probably felt that way, and they probably, Lord help us, we can have people in our lives sometimes that challenge us. They didn't challenge Jesus. I want to tell you, blind Bartimaeus was very valuable to Jesus. Jesus was on a mission. Jesus came to this place. Wasn't there a place in the Scriptures that told us about if you want to be great, humble yourself? If you're great, he says, then you're minister to all. Who do you minister to? The great ones then. Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus becomes the great one and Jesus becomes the servant to all. Here's somebody in need that many would discard. And if we're not careful, we have those kind of thoughts. We have those kind of places about how somebody's worth something or how valuable they are, about what they can do for us or whatever. But Jesus says to all, come. Come. You know, Jesus knows that He can change the blind Bartimaeus. Jesus knows the value of all human souls.
Yes.
Jesus knows what He wants to do and what He can do. So blind Bartimaeus begins to say when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, He done what we all ought to do. He began to cry out.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I wonder what he was expecting. I wonder what he was wanting. Have mercy on me. Did he ever use the expression in his begging? Oh, Governor, have mercy on me. I hear you there. Have mercy on me. Give me a little bit that I might eat. Help me out a little bit I might need. But the expectation might rise a little bit when Jesus, the Son of David, comes by, because he's got a lot more to give. Oh, I'm so glad that they didn't say to him, be quiet, and he shut up. I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad that he hollered all the more. And then I'm also glad that he wasn't disappointed. I'm glad the story doesn't say, and he cried some more, and he cried as Jesus, as he heard faintly as the crowd and Jesus moved away out of his life. He had one last cry, oh, have mercy on me. That's not the story. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he casting away his garments rose and came to Jesus. Now here's a place, and in different places Jesus did different things. But here's a place again to where Jesus only approached so close. You notice that? But he was a blind man. Wouldn't you want to go up all the way to the blind man? But Jesus come up short of the blind man and called after him.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to have to make the effort. You may be blind and undone, and Jesus comes up to the position, the place, that your contact is possible now. It's able. He's capable. You can do it. Then he stopped and he called and said, oh, he's calling after you. He's calling after you. But you're going to have to come. Come unto me. So, in meetings like this, I would like to say that Jesus sets it up. He gave the facility. He gave the time. He gave you the help. He made the position. He called the situation. He puts it into play. He stands then and says, come unto me. I got something for you. I got help for you. I want you. I want you. Do you know how important that is to me? That I know when I get in that place of the failures that I've had in life, or when I get into the place that I don't know what to do, I don't have to worry about this one thing, whether He wants me to do it or not. I don't have to wonder whether it's His will or not, whether I come and do it. I don't have to wonder whether I'm going to be accepted or not. I don't have to worry about whether you're allowed to have red hair and freckles to get there. I don't have to worry about whether when I get there. Now, you all might not have the same sensitivities, and I'm sure you don't. But I'm glad that I don't have to go there. And the first thing that he says is, I sure made you a sight, didn't I? When I was in high school, I still had red hairs and freckles. It just I grew up bigger. I actually had a English teacher that said before the whole class, while I was there, I hate redheads. And I was the only redhead in the class. I really didn't feel very wanted in there.
No.
I'm so glad that the Lord wants me.
Yes.
And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I'm almost sure to say that he never requested that of any of the begging that he ever done. He never begged the merchants for his sight back. He never begged the neighbors for his sight back. But Jesus says, come. And he came. What can I do for you? Do you know I'm honest, convinced, an honest heart that can come and say, Lord, I need my peace.
Yes.
I need peace.
Yes.
I can't ask that of you. I can't ask that of others.
No.
But I ask it of the Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I've lost my peace.
Yes.
Lord, I've had things in my life and I don't have peace about. I want to have peace. He can give you peace. He can give you your sight back. He can give you your vision back. Sometimes you can lose sight of things and don't see it. He can give you your sight back. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Over in Luke 14th chapter. Sixteenth verse of the 14th chapter of Luke says, then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Now, if there's anything that can get people to come, it's food. Good food is a motivation. I mean, if there has to be another motive, I don't know what works better, Harley, than food. And probably more in a desolate, more hungry area, it'd even be more so. Because there's such a strong appetite for it, such a strong desire. He made a great supper. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. Come. Oh, I think about those spreads that I've been at, those services and after services, and those tables that when you get to them many times, you know your plate's not big enough for, you know, I mean, you know, I'd like to try that chicken, and then there's that roast beef. And then there's that corn, and there's the rolls, but then there's the broccoli salad, and then there's this other salad, and there's stuff, and I'm either going to take really good small portions, or I'm going to have to, you ain't supposed to eat too much. Now I know that plate's not going to suffice. Lord ain't talking about natural food. I got something for you. I've got it in abundance.
Yes,
your plate won't hold it.
No.
I've got the spiritual food for you. I've got life food for you. I've got the real stuff for you so much. Your plate can't hold it. It's going to be spread. Come. Just come. I've got all you want. This is the good stuff. This is the real stuff.
Yes.
Come. And I'll share it with you. And you can eat it freely. And I know what it's like, especially when I'm good and hungry, to get there in that line, whoo, all this, and what to do. And I know my plate's not big enough sometimes, and I kind of pick what I want to set on what, you know. I mean, what I want nearest to what, and put it on there, and I try to watch myself, but then I got all that plate, and I think, now this is, I got it, but this is, I didn't get this, I didn't get this, and boy, that meat looked good, and that, but it's not room, but I'm okay. And I get there, and I pass the dessert table, and it looks like it's all there. It's all there. The supper is done.
Yes.
And He bids us.
Yes, He does.
Come. For all things are now ready. And He sent His servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. All excuse. You ever make an excuse? Oh, I've heard a lot of excuses. A lot of excuses. The Lord knows excuses.
Yes.
But it's all ready. If you don't come, He's not going to bring you a plate. You're going to have to come.
Yes.
Oh, there's a lot of excuses. One of my buddies one time said that they asked him why he didn't go to church. He said, because I run out of peanut butter. He said, well, what does running out of peanut butter have with not going to church? He said, nothing. But one excuse is as good as another. Just as well be peanut butter. What he was meaning was that he didn't want to go, so he didn't go. And he didn't have an excuse, so he made up one. You know, if we don't want to go, if we don't want to come, we need to deal with that.
Yes.
We need to deal with the idea that I don't want to. Mm-hmm. The Lord already knows. Oh, they was no, kind of short in saying who it was, but somebody came to one time and I didn't say anything to them. I didn't say anything. But they wanted to let me know their excuse because they wasn't there. They didn't come to service on Sunday, and I didn't say why wasn't you at church on Sunday. I didn't say anything, and they said, "Well, now the reason I wasn't at church Sunday, I didn't even ask them." They said, "Well, the reason I wasn't at church Sunday is because I had to go grocery shopping." And I said, "Okay." No, you don't understand. That's pretty easy to understand, but I didn't say that. No, you don't understand. That's when I had to go because that's when I could. Okay. It was like, well, and so they're trying to make sure that I approved of it too. It ain't up to me to approve or not approve. You want to go get groceries? Go get groceries. Because if you'd rather do that and go to service, then that's the way it works. I ain't judging anything. So we've done it a little bit, and then I said, okay, what'd you do Saturday? It was like, oh. One excuse is as good as another. Come unto me. Come unto me. It's ready. It's made. With one consent, it says, they begin to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go see it. Do you really think somebody would buy a piece of ground that they didn't look at? This really shows an excuse to me. I bought a piece of ground. I might have to go look at it. What, you bought it before you looked at it? Not likely. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go prove them. I pray thee have me excused. So, I got these oxen, now I got to go try them out. Oh, they'll try out later. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Oh, just bring your wife and come on. I'll say this, and I don't want to embarrass my wife, but I'll say this. Most wives like to eat as well as what I do. So eating's not a problem. She'll go with you. Come. Come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I've got it set. I've got it ready. I want you to know that you're wanted. I'm not going to dismiss you. I'm not going to put you out. I'm not going to run you down. You can find what you need. Come. Come unto me and you can find what you need. This isn't an open thing to the world. This is a private thing. To come to the Lord and receive what you need in your soul. This is a private thing. Oh, it says, another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came, showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. Come. Who? Go out into the highways? The hedges? Go out and get the halt, the blind, the poor, those that are worthless. They're not worthless to the Lord. They're valuable.
Yes, they are.
The valuable. If you're halt, blind, poor, wretched, down to outcast, you got habits, you got needs, you got problems. Where else should you go? Oh, we get this idea that you have to be certain. No! This is where all that's fixed. This is where it all gets took care of. This is where the help can be. When I look sometimes, I remember one time going through my hometown after I was saved, and I remember seeing a guy stagger off of the bank, the road bank, stagger across the road. He was drunk and he come falling and staggering and he staggered across the road. And I remember my first impression is, oh, them drunks. And my second impression was, oh, what kind of a saint could that be? If the Lord could get a hold of him, if he had come, what the Lord could do with him and change his life and what to do it. My perception changes when I look at it that way. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You know why? It wasn't that they was less important. It was that they didn't come. They just didn't come. Another scripture. Over in Mark, the 2nd chapter, Fifteenth verse says, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Why would he do that? Doesn't he know that they're sinners? Doesn't he know what that looked like? That looks terrible. He's sitting in there with publicans and sinners. He's sitting in there with bad people. How comes he does it? Ask the disciples, how is it that he comes to do those that kind of thing? You know why? They're valuable. He wants them. That's why. He wants them. They're wanted. Oh, what a wonderful thought. I'm wanted. I'm wanted. Brother, I'm not worthless. I'm not useless. I don't have any value at all. No. I'm worth something. I got value. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance." So the Lord again expresses the value and the worth of all people, no matter where they're at. But it's up to us to make the decisions. Do you want the Lord in your life? You would think everybody would. I would. Think of this story. Jesus goes to the land of the Gadarenes. There's a man there who lives in the tombs. And he's got so many spirits, so many devils in him, that his name's Legion, because there was many. And Jesus goes to this man, and he comes out, and the Lord done what nobody else, because one passage says that they tried to bind him. They tried to deal with this man. He would cut himself. He was a wild man. He lived there all in the towns, and nobody could do anything with him, and they tried to put chains on him. And they would break them. And he was a wild man. And along comes Jesus. And you have somebody like that in your community. And along comes Jesus. And casts out the spirits. If you remember the story. And leaves the man where he was naked and wild and out of his mind. He left him clothed. And in his right mind, sitting at Jesus' feet, calm and peaceful.
Yes.
Now, who wouldn't want a neighbor like that? But the Scripture says that they came to him and told him to leave their coast.
Yes.
"We don't want you here." Why don't you want him there? And you know what the Lord did? He left. He left. This is not this way of the Lord is not a forceful thing. It's a free will. It's a choice that we make. And the Lord gives us the opportunity and the call. I think the call still goes. I think the call come unto me has resonated the centuries. I think the call is still there. Come. Come unto me. Come unto me. Sinner. So sinners, publicans, you would say, I don't have anything for God. God's not going to hear me because I've been a sinner. No. The Lord says, come.
Yes.
Come unto me. If you're heavy laden, come unto me. Do you know Jesus isn't afraid of sinners? Jesus knows he's got the remedy for sinners. He knows he's got the remedy for your problem. If you said to me, "Brother Marty, I've got so many problems and I'm going to come and I want you to help me fix them," you'd have me worrying. You'd have me praying, I'll tell you that, because I'm going to tell you what. If the Lord don't have mercy on us, nothing's fixed. I know I can't fix your problems. And if you want advice, I mean, I'll say advice, you probably get it. If you want an opinion, you'll definitely get it. If you want the right answer, you better get Jesus. You better go, as he says, come unto me. You better go unto him because he's the one that's got the real answer and the power to be able to take care of that problem. It's Jesus that does that and is able to do that. And the reason why he went and was so willing to sit there and deal with them sinners and all that, because he knows what he can do with them. He knows what it takes. All he's got to do is get them to come and he can transform them. He can transform you today too. My sister one time said to me, we was on the phone, my sister said to me, she said, Marty, the Lord done the greatest miracle. Has performed the greatest miracle. And I'm saying, oh boy, stop. I said, wait, sis, I gotta say, the greatest miracle. I'm gonna guess this, but I'm gonna see what it is. The Lord done the greatest miracle. Let's see. The greatest miracle. I think in the days of Joshua he turned back to sun so many degrees. That's a pretty good one. In all the miracles of miracles, that was a universal type thing. That was a planetary. I mean, that's a miracle. That's probably above the Red Sea one. I mean, of the great miracles of the Bible that really applied to something, I would go with the days of the sun going back. No, that wasn't the greatest one. She said, he changed me. That's the great one. The change of doing something I can't do for myself. That's a miracle. That's the miracle that he came to give us. Look at another scripture with me. Oh, let's see. Mark. No, I'm sorry. Hebrews 4. Fifteenth verse says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
Thank the Lord.
He knows what our infirmities are. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what environmental pressures have done to us.
Yes.
He knows the way we were born.
Yes,
he knows the way we were raised with all of our prejudices and thoughts and ideas that we have about things. He knows what society has done to us. He knows how all those things has done and what they've done to us. I believe you can be severely affected in your childhood to what you'll be as an adult. I think the kind of pressures, the kind of things, the abuses, the things that you see in life and how things are dealt with, I think it will greatly affect you in the rest of your life. You build a way of dealing and coping with life, and you'll deal and cope with life generally that way, and those kind of things. But the Lord knows our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what makes us do what we do. He knows all those kind of things, and He's not afraid of them. He's not weak in trying to deal with them. He wants to deal with them. He wants us to know, no matter who we are here today, no matter what we've went through in life, no matter what has created that in us, no matter how many failures of the past, I know the feelings of your infirmities. I know who you are. And was in all points tempted, like as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore, and here is another one of those very powerful scriptures of the will of God. You know, we sometimes say we need to know what the will of God is. Well, we do. But there are some of it that is specifically expressed. I don't have to wonder what the will of God is concerning me. He's not willing that any should perish. That is the will of God. Not any? You mean a red-headed freckle face? Him too? Yes, him too. You mean somebody that has lived their life not serving God? Yes, him too. You mean somebody that never knew anything about Jesus or never taught anything has got an access? Yes. Yes. Got this access. Let us therefore come boldly. You mean I not only can come, but I can come with my shoulders out? You mean I can stand up straight when I come? Sometimes we think that boldness is opposite of humility. Pride is the opposite of humility.
Yes.
Bold isn't.
No.
You can come boldly, humbly.
Yes.
Our boldness isn't in because I'm somebody. I can come boldly because Jesus thinks I'm worth something. I can come boldly because Jesus said, come. Now you remember another scripture where the disciples are on a ship and Jesus is coming and walking on the water. And the disciples see him coming and they think he's a spirit and they're afraid. And Jesus yells out to them, be not afraid. 'Tis I. Oh, it's the Lord, Peter says. Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. And Jesus says, come. Bid. Lord, this is too big for me.
Yes.
This is something I can't do. You ever tell the Lord that? You ever in a place where you say, Lord, I can't do this? Lord, you're asking me to face something that I can't face. I can't face this. I can't do this. I remember a couple times in my life to where I said, I told the Lord just that. Lord, I can't face this. I don't have the strength and fortitude to face this. I'm ready to bolt. I'm ready to run. I'm ready to do something. I can't face this. But the Lord says, come.
Yes.
You can walk on the water.
Yes.
You can have your troubles under your feet. You get your eyes on me. You get connected with me. And you can walk on the water. You can do the impossible. You can come boldly today to the throne of grace. You know why? Not because you're something in yourself. You can come boldly because He says come. You can come boldly because He's paid it. You can come boldly because you're coming in the name of Jesus. That's why you can come boldly. When I approach the throne, I can go and say, Jesus paid it. Jesus, whatever it's been in my life, whatever it was, Jesus paid it. And I can come with a confidence, no matter who you are, how much you've had in your life, whatever in your life, do you know that you can come with a full assurance and confidence that the Lord has said, come? Come is an invitation of want, desire. I want you here. I want you to come. Come. I want you to be here.
Yes.
I'm not wanting to run you off. I want you to be here. It was kind of an expression that we do sometimes with our foot washing thing. When we foot wash one another's feet, we're really approving of one another that I want you in my life.
Yes,
yes. I want you as my brother. In the ancient days, when a traveler come by, if they were welcome, they would wash their feet.
Yes.
Because it made them feel wanted. When we come here and there's a little note that says Clevengers, what's in the refrigerator is yours. Makes me feel wanted. when there's stuff in there that says this is yours, makes me feel wanted.
Yes.
I like feeling wanted.
Yes.
I'm glad for the Lord that says, come unto me. Come boldly. Today, come boldly to the throne of grace. It's yours. The throne of grace is the table spread. Come boldly to this table that's spread with everything. You need wisdom? Come get it. You need more patience? Come get it. You need peace in your life? Come get it. You need forgiveness? Come get it. It's spread. Come. I've got it all set out for you. A wide open invitation. All welcome.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You know, the church has the same spirit. We're to have the same spirit.
Yes,
we do. All come. That you might, the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. If you have a need today, I want to encourage you. There isn't any reason to hold back, because the Lord wants you there more than you want there. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.